Government contractors are feeling pretty good about a recent U.S. appeals court decision. It says the government must act in good faith and deal fairly in all government contracts. And believe it or not, that wasn't always the case. In this week's Legal Loop, we examine the ruling and its implications with procurement attorney Joe Petrillo. Joe, good morning.
Good morning, Tom.
All right, so this case is known as Metcalf versus the United States. Tell us about it.
Well, it involves a contract for design and construction of Marine Corps housing units for Hawaii. And the contract had lots and lots of problems revolving around the soil. I won't get into the nitty-gritty, but the problems delayed the contract, caused added expense. The design had to be changed to mitigate that. There was some problem with hazardous materials in the soil that increased cost as well. And the contractor ended up bringing a claim. The Navy, which was supervising the project, denied the claim, and the case went on to court.
Well, so what was the contractor claiming? And now I'm curious to know whether this building exists or whether it was just scrapped.
Oh, well, it was built. It was built and just cost a heck of a lot more than the contract price. And the contractor ended up litigating his claims at the Court of Federal Claims where he lost. And one of the things the contractor was arguing was that the government had not discharged its duty of good faith and fair dealing. And the lower court said, no, it's you lose on that too, because you haven't shown that there were any actions specifically targeted at you to mess up your contract performance, first of all. And secondly, you haven't shown that the government breached an explicit obligation in the contract. So the contractor, having lost in the lower court, appealed on that ground, on the good faith and fair dealing ground, to the Court of Appeals for the Federal Circuit. And I have to say, in defense of the trial court, they relied on some prior decisions of the Court of Appeals, particularly one called Precision Pine, which seemed to require both of those things for a breach of the obligation of good faith and fair dealing. So it looked like they'd acted consistently with the Court of Appeals precedent, but the Court of Appeals said, no, you misread our case, and held in favor of the contractor on the good faith and fair dealing question, sent it back to the trial court.
And so what does this ruling make incumbent upon all contracting officers?
Well, here's the thing. This is part of a debate in government contracting. It's been going on pretty much since the founding of the Republic. The question is, are government contracts subject to the same legal principles as common law contracts between private parties, or are there differences? And there are usually some differences because of the sovereign immunity of the government and other unique principles that apply to the government. But in terms of the general contract law, what are the differences there? And what the Court of Appeals held, which was, I think, encouraging to contractors, is that the government's held to the same standard in this area as a private contracting party. Specifically, there's a duty of good faith and fair dealing in the performance and enforcement of every contract. And the reason we know the Court of Appeals was drawing a correspondence between regular contract law and government contract law is because it based its analysis on something called the Restatement of Contracts. A group of scholars, the American Law Institute, tries to summarize all the cases in an area of the law, and they issue something called a restatement. And the restatement goes on in some detail about what this duty of good faith and fair dealing is, and the Court of Appeals adopted that analysis in deciding this case.
We're speaking with Joe Petrillo, a procurement attorney with Petrillo and Powell. So, Joe, to put it simply, what's the bottom line for the federal government and also for contractors?
Well, to put it in terms as simple as you can, given the opinion, it requires the parties to operate in faithfulness to an agreed common purpose and consistent with the justified expectations of the other parties. In other words, you've got to act reasonably and fairly and not frustrate the object of the contract as it regards the other party. In terms of the specifically targeted action, The court held, no, we didn't really mean that had to be in every case. We just said, given the particulars of the earlier case, it was necessary there, but it's not necessary here in Metcalf, and it's not necessary as a general rule. And in terms of the need to violate an express duty in the contract, by the way, to go back to specifically targeted for a minute, I think the reason people got stuck in that idea and trying to apply it's very complicated, as you can see, is because there are a series of cases in the area of bad faith that say, well, to prove bad faith, you've got to prove the government was out to get you, basically. I think what happened was that people got wrapped around the axle thinking that if you're not acting in good faith, then you must be acting in bad faith and all the bad faith tests apply. And the court didn't really address that directly, but their analysis suggests that the obligation to act in good faith is an affirmative obligation. It's something you have to do, and if you don't do it, then you can be in breach of contract. Acting in bad faith, I think, is taking things another step further and taking action to affirmatively do something you're otherwise obligated to do, but to do it for a bad motive or purpose.
So I guess the government, more often than not, when it goes off the rails, is acting in a not so much a bad faith or good faith, but an incompetent faith. I mean, doesn't this often happen in evaluation of bids, where something looks good in a bid and the government likes it, but it wasn't according to the criteria they set forth in the first place, and that's where they get a lot of protests?
Sure, that's a good example. And in this particular instance, I mean, with sort of the government dithered around with issues, it knew it didn't have a full picture when it let the contract and it let contractors know that, well, we'll have to investigate the soil more thoroughly when we get into the actual construction. And it told contractors that if there was a material change in the condition of the soil from what was in the bid documents, that things would change in the contract. And when it actually came down to it, they wouldn't approve any changes to take into account the different soil conditions. If the contractor had just built the building the way the government had designed it, it probably would have fallen down by now, and they didn't do that. So it
would have been perfect for Afghanistan.
They seem to fall down for lots of reasons there. The issue then went on to, do you have to have an express duty in the contract? And that doesn't make any sense. The duty of good faith and fair dealing is an implied duty, so it's something that's in every contract, whether you state it in the contract or not. And the reason you have these implied duties is because you can't anticipate in drafting the contract every possible act or eventuality that might take place. So the implied duty is there to make the contract work in the way that the parties had sort of scoped out in allocating risk and in describing what was going to happen in the ways that they could anticipate, and it gives judges a handle to interpret the contract and apply it consistently with what the folks thought at the time they entered into the contract.
Now, you've said that this is the type of case that gets lawyers all excited. So what do you expect to happen next?
Well, I don't think there'll be a heck of a lot of litigation coming out of this, because I don't think there are a lot of instances where the government fails to act in good faith in a contract. But when it does, it's now possible for the contractor, if it has to litigate a claim or litigate a case, to bring that to the attention of a court or board and get relief. If the prior precedent had been followed, and if it had meant what everyone thought it meant, let's put it that way, it would have been extremely difficult to say, well, maybe what the government didn't do wasn't expressly against a particular written obligation of a contract, but it was still inconsistent with the contractual objectives and inconsistent with good faith and fair dealing. You really probably couldn't prevail on that kind of an argument. Now you can, and I don't think this is a case the government should be worried about if they act diligently and reasonably in performing their contracts. They should be okay.
And finally, just to, for clarification, is this something that you see that applies across the board rather than just when you're dealing with things like construction?
Absolutely. It applies across the board. And one thing I think the court really didn't get into is this was a design-build contract, which in the construction environment requires even more close coordination between the contracting parties. There are lots of contracts like that, for instance, in IT, where you need to act almost as if you're in a partnership and work cooperatively together. And if you don't, then the contract just isn't going to run well. The moral of the story is, if you write that type of contract, make sure you do your part.
Joe Petrillo is a procurement attorney with the law firm Petrillo & Powell. Joe, thanks.
You're very welcome. Thank you.